What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for three seasons now, but this was our first with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bring you your team every day. Well, guys, it's kind of a depressing Monday morning because you wake up and there's no more football. I mean, that's not what the listeners want to hear, but the season is officially over. And of course, once again, Tom Brady, the guy who knocked you out of the playoffs, picks up the Lombardi Trophy for the sixth time. On today's show, we're going to be going over a recap and just a general reaction to the Super Bowl. And then we'll go ahead and get into who on these teams are going to become free agents from the Rams and the Patriots and talk about if the Chargers can maybe swoop any of those guys with their deep playoff resumes now. And then obviously a lot of talented players on both those teams and a lot of free agents coming for both of those teams. So we'll get into the highlights of those guys and what we think about bringing them to the Chargers. And then we'll wrap things up at the end of the show by kind of doing a fun part of the show and a fun thing for fans to see. And that is power rankings. Yes. Power rankings on the day of the Super Bowl are already out for next season. The Chargers are pretty high up on the list, so we'll go ahead and get into that last and tell you guys if we agree or disagree. But let's go ahead and get into this game. John, you watched the game, obviously. So what were your first reactions of that game in general, and what did you think?
It was a great defensive game. Two coaches really going at it. I wasn't expecting a low-scoring game. I thought for sure the Patriots would have figured out how to get around Aaron Donald and make it work, but they came out with a really good game plan, and it wasn't an ugly game to the point where it's like a bunch of penalties taking away a bunch of big plays. It was two really good defenses going at it, and I really enjoyed the game. Not surprised that the Patriots won, but shout out to Calvin Munson, who's on the Patriots practice squad. You have your championship ring, my friend.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, John was rooting for the Patriots, just to get that out there, but it was, you know, for a guy he actually knows well in Calvin Munson. And like I said at the beginning, we're writers for San Diego Sports Domination. So we're very linked in San Diego and those sports teams, especially San Diego State. John goes to all the games. But it was cool to see, you know, that he's going to get one, a guy from San Diego State. But at the same time, David, the Patriots, really, it had to be the Patriots. I mean, even the Chiefs are in the Chargers division. I still would have rather seeing them win then to see Tom Brady have his sixth trophy. I mean, just that really kills me. I know I'm a Patriot hater lifelong. So how did that make you feel seeing Tom Brady get another Super Bowl victory?
I mean, a little more dead inside. I mean, broken freaking record. I mean, God, tell me if you've heard this song before. I am tired of it. I want to break the radio. I am so tired of seeing Bill Belichick and Tom Brady lift up the Lombardi Trophy. Just retire already. Just leave. I know I'm saying what every football fan that's not a Patriots fan feels right now. Obviously, I'm very happy for Calvin Munson to get a ring, but man, I hate the Patriots. They're like the Death Star. They're just terrible. But hey, they won the championship, but that means now everybody's 0-0. And we can get prepared for next season. But my thoughts on the game real quick. When Julian Edelman has more yards than your entire team, it's probably not a great recipe for success. So that's basically all I got about that one.
Well, and it was crazy because just what James White did to the Chargers, and he goes and has this game where he only has one catch in the entire game. If you would have told me that, I would have thought you were crazy, especially with the Rams linebackers not really being a strong point of their team. But that did allow Julian Edelman to go for a giant game again. The Rams just really did nothing offensively. Todd Gurley never really got going. He seemed hurt. They said he wasn't hurt. CJ Anderson didn't do anything. It was just a really weird game. John, I think a lot of people will be surprised that you liked this game so much just for how low scoring it was. I mean, it was a pretty boring game, I think, to the average viewer just because of the lack of points. Everybody bets on the over. Nobody wants to see the under come through. But to have a 13-3 game where one receiver basically outgains another entire team and the teams punt 14 times, what about this game made it enjoyable for you?
I'm someone that actually knows how to appreciate the game and not just wait and see touchdowns. The average casual fan is basically the reason why the game of football is turning into what it is. The NFL knows that there's a bunch of people that aren't these passionate fans that just watch football and they want to watch it more if there's more scoring. And so the NFL made rules where, like, you can't even touch a wide receiver or even breathe on him without getting a penalty. So now NFL quarterbacks are throwing for 4,800 yards like it's nothing now, whereas before that would have been like, oh my God, did you hear what he did? He threw for 4,800 yards. Now it's, oh yeah, three of those guys did that. And to be able to see two teams come together with great game plans and fight against each other for a low scoring game, to battle it like that, even with the way the rules are, that's a fun, entertaining game. I appreciated the game plans, the way the players fought. The fact that there, even though Edelman was getting open or Gronk was getting open, somehow somebody was able to stick with them on third downs. It was a great game.
There were a lot of good defensive plays. I think even defensively, most people would like to see, you know, maybe a pick six, maybe some bigger, splashier plays. But I thought that you could really see the coaching in effect. I mean, with what Bill Belichick and his coaching staff have been able to do with that defense to basically mold them into something the other team doesn't want to see week in and week out, and especially in the playoffs, is just, it's stunning to me to see that kind of game plan. But David, just kind of looking forward, what do you think this means for the Chargers, seeing this game, seeing the Patriots still remaining on top? Does it make you feel any better or worse about the Chargers' chances going into the 2019 season?
I mean, as long as Tom Brady is the quarterback of the Patriots and Bill Belichick is the coach, I mean, you can't really feel comfortable. I mean, obviously, that's the last hurdle that the Chargers really have to jump over, and they have not been able to do that. So, I mean, as a fan, I mean, you can't feel great about it, but, you know, you got to just concentrate on putting the pieces around Phillip Rivers to get over that hump. You know, you can't worry about what the Patriots are doing. You know, they're celebrating their sixth championship, and you're still looking for your first. So I think you really got to focus on making this team the best that you possibly can going into next season.
Well, I think it's more of building the strengths of your defense to what is in your way. So, for example, if Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes are the things get in your way of a Super Bowl, you put everything on your defense that's going to be able to defeat those guys, because if nothing else is standing in your way, you don't have to really adjust to those things, because you should be able to beat teams like the Raiders, teams like the Broncos. We're going to be playing teams like the Lions next year. You don't really have to adjust to those teams, but something like the Bears with their defense, you got to fix your offense for that, because that's going to be a game that could be big and decide your season. The Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, find a way to figure out how to get pass rush and a better coverage linebacker. Things like that will probably be better for this team.
I think that is what you have to focus on. And the crazy part is that people are going to doubt Tom Brady next year too. I mean, the Patriots will, you know, lose two games in a row, and everyone will think the dynasty is crumbling. Obviously, we will see what happens with guys like Rob Gronkowski, who said he might mull retirement in the offseason. You have to respect the Patriots and know that they're going to bounce back and know that they're going to be there at the end of the day when you get into the playoffs and if you want to make a deep playoff run. But, hey, the Chargers could help themselves if they find a way to get a bye and make the Patriots have to go through an extra team before they get to them. But speaking of players that you need to go up against guys like Tom Brady and go up against guys like Patrick Mahomes, there are some guys on these two teams that played today that the Chargers could possibly target in free agency. And coming up next, we're going to go ahead and get into it. So, guys, we need to get into the free agents that are departing from these two teams, possibly the Rams and the Patriots. There are a lot of big names on there and just a lot of names in general, but I will go over the highlights of those names for you guys. So on the Rams, a bunch of guys that are getting to the end of their contract. You have Ndamukong Suh, who obviously only signed a one-year deal in the offseason. You have free safety LaMarcus Joyner, Roger Saffold, the guard, Dante Fowler Jr. from the Jaguars, the defensive end, Sam Shields, and that's pretty much all of the big names for the Rams. The Patriots don't have a ton of salary coming off the books. Their highest paid player that's going to be a free agent is Steven Gostkowski, and I wouldn't mind having him on my team if it were not for the money badger. Obviously, I stay away. But Chris Hogan's going to be a free agent. So is Jason McCourty, cornerback, Danny Shelton, defensive tackle, Philip Dorsett, Eric Rowe, and Trey Flowers are the biggest names outside of Josh Gordon, because who knows when that guy is going to play again, so I don't really count him. But John, when you hear that list of the guys coming that might be departing from these two teams, are there any of them that stand out to you, and are any of them good fits for what the Chargers need to get better at?
I'm kind of skeptical about signing Patriots players because they're more of a, they fit the Patriots system players, so you don't know if they're going to be good coming out. But if I was going to get anybody from this Patriots roster, it would probably be Malcolm Brown at defensive tackle, because his size and his power would probably be cheap enough to get a decent defensive tackle on this team. I think he's better than most of the guys on our team right now, personally. And if we lose Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin gets cut, maybe go after Cordell Patterson with his speed. He could probably be just like Tyrell Williams, but now he probably has a little bit more experience with an offense and can be a kick returner. And on the Rams side, I would like to add a little bit more to our running backs. I'd want someone that's a little bit more powerful, like Malcolm Brown. But other than that, not many of these guys I think we could afford.
All right, so there's two Malcolm Browns that you want on the Chargers. I don't know if we can have both of them on the same team. That might just get too confusing. I mean, we already have too many Williams as it is now. I don't know if we can throw a Malcolm Brown into the situation.
They both played on the University of Texas at the same time, and they did pretty well with it.
Yeah, no one likes Texas anyways. But I think, John, you would really happily take any of those defensive tackles. I would take Ndamukong Suh, obviously, but I don't think the Chargers are going to shell out what he's going to want. But I can tell you we wouldn't have to go very far to make the switch. I would take Danny Shelton, the former first-round pick by the Browns as well, who they kind of just discarded to the Patriots. The Patriots found a way to use him well and make him, you know, a viable player and a valuable asset on the inside. I don't think the Patriots would be able to pay all these guys. And I think that Philip Dorsett, David, could even play that deep role in the Chargers offense if they were to get a guy like that. He didn't produce a lot on the Patriots, and that's kind of a system-oriented thing. They spread the ball around so much, it's hard to have, you know, crazy stats as a Patriots skilled player unless you're Rob Gronkowski or Randy Moss. But outside of that, what are the names that you saw on these two lists that really stood out to you?
So, yeah, I know he might be a little out of the price range because he's a great defensive player, but I would love to see Trey Flowers in a Chargers uniform. You can never get enough pass rush. So adding a player of his caliber who is a Super Bowl champion would be a great feather in the cap. Obviously, you know, you can have dreams of Ndamukong Suh or LaMarcus Joyner, but I doubt he's going anywhere. But, you know, you can definitely dream.
John, if cost was not an option and you think that you could afford any of these guys, who would you want to go after?
Probably Ndamukong Suh and Jason McCourty. Those would probably be the two guys I want to go with. And then I would be fine with letting Trevor Williams go. And we would have four great cornerbacks that you could rely on all around in case one got hurt. Because I feel if you had Ndamukong Suh, Joey Bosa, and Melvin Ingram all rushing with four great corners, and then if you could just draft another safety, you would be money on defense.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that. I think LaMarcus Joyner is a guy you could throw in there as well, just because having him and Derwin James in the back would feel much better than Derwin James and Jahlil Adai. I think we all agree with that. But like you said, all those guys are probably out of the Chargers' price range unless they were really going to go all in. But a couple of those guys, the Chargers might be able to bring in at a reasonable price, but that would mean that they're leaving the Patriots and having just one a Super Bowl, that might be a little bit harder to swallow to want to leave somewhere and take a discount if you're not going to try to take a discount to get some more championship rings. But we do have one more fun segment coming up just about the power rankings for 2019, the way too early power rankings, and I'd have to agree with that. But first, I need to tell you guys that this episode could have been brought to you by your company or your product if you're looking for a way to reach new customers. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with the sponsors they hear on their podcast, and you can get your company or product out to thousands of people per episode if you sponsor the Locked On Chargers podcast. Our demographic is 98% males with higher education and more traditional earning than most audiences. And you can hook up with the Locked On Chargers podcast by emailing me at dwade4256@gmail.com. We do not have an off season and we can still represent your company or your product on the next show. We could be mentioning your name now. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of this post-football Monday, and we'll do it by looking forward to next season already. We're one day deep into the offseason, and we're already looking forward to the next season of Chargers football, and we all know for you guys that can't come soon enough. Luckily, we have some things like free agency and the draft to look forward to, but this is kind of disregarding all of that because we have the 2019 way too early power rankings that have the Chargers coming in at fifth, which is pretty high, guys. I mean, the fifth in the league, four teams made it to the championship round. So basically they're saying the Chargers were the best one that got left out. The problem is the Patriots and the Chiefs both come in ahead of the Chargers at 2-4. And like we said, those are the big obstacles that you're going to have to overcome. But do you agree with the number five, the Chargers potentially being the fifth best team in the NFL next season?
Yeah, actually, I think that's pretty much right where they should be. I mean, given that they got to the divisional round and they were defeated by the eventual Super Bowl champions, I think that that's pretty accurate. I think with the talent on both sides of the ball, I mean, the Chargers are definitely a great squad and they have a young nucleus for the most part. But they do have a couple of holes they need to fill. So, you know, that's why they're not, you know, obviously closer. But I think five is pretty accurate. I think they're just realistically a few pieces away from sincerely contending.
Well, and you see, you know, a website like ESPN continuing to kind of doubt the Patriots. The Patriots come in at four, even though they'll probably be near the top of the Vegas odds. I think the Chiefs were the best odds to win the Super Bowl in 2019, which is crazy that that is already set. And you can see why they gave the Patriots the best run for their money. They were the closest team to beating them and just never got the ball in overtime. But, John, I feel like you, out of the three of us, is the one that's going to have the most issue with the Chargers coming in at number five in the 2019 power rankings.
Right now, yes. But if you were to talk to me after free agency and the draft, it might be different. But for right now, with the guys we could be losing and without any guarantee of us replacing him with somebody good, like losing an Adrian Phillips possibly to free agency, Tyrell Williams might leave. I see a bunch of holes that I'm not guaranteed to fill. The offensive line needs a lot of work. I don't see us being a five team. I can see us being top 10 for sure, maybe somewhere around the 8-7 area, but to be five, I think it's too high right now. But I'm sure after free agency or the draft, you could change my mind and tell me that that's a good position. But I don't know what the guarantee is on keeping Adrian Phillips, who was a major part of this team. When we started using him last year, it changed everything, and he was a big part of this year. And now that he might go get paid somewhere else if we don't pay him, gives me a lot of worries just with that one player alone.
Well, let me ask it this way then. Say the Chargers re-sign Adrian Phillips. That's the only one of the players that I'll hypothetically say that the Chargers get back for sure in free agency. The rest of it's all gray area. Would you say that the Chargers have a good foundation to build on to be a top five team in next season? Because when I look at it, I think, yes, it could really be anywhere in the top 10 where this team comes in the 2019 season based on what it does in the offseason through free agency and in the draft. If you have hit on a couple more draft picks, if you're able to fill some holes like Tom Telesco has been able to do at certain points in free agency for a reasonable price, don't you think this team has the foundation to potentially be that good and possibly be even better if they were to get a guy like Adrian Phillips back and then build around the rest of what they have?
Yeah, absolutely. If they were to get Adrian Phillips back, I feel like you have one of your run-stopping nickel linebacker guys back, and then we could definitely find another run-stopping linebacker or even re-sign Denzel Perryman to a small contract or something along those lines that are, if you could say, easy fixings. But Adrian Phillips is my big worry personally, because if we lose him, do you trust that there's somebody else that could play that role that you could find in free agency or in the draft somewhere? And then on the offensive side, you could easily find someone in the offensive line that's probably going to be cheaper and can play better than most of the guys we saw this year, because what we saw this year was pretty bad and you could easily fix it. So do we have a good foundation? Yes. It's just, are we going to go get it? Are we going to be willing to spend the money or go look for the guys? Because Telesco can find them, but we still have Spanos to deal with.
Yeah, ownership is always the problem, but you have to give credit to what they've been able to do and have some hope that they're going to be able to fix the offensive line at least somewhat and have it at a better level than what it was this year. Because if you saw anything in this game today, is two really good offensive lines and how important that was to both of the teams and how far they made it. I mean, it's just so paramount. And the other part of it was being able to get pressure and pressure up the middle, which is something the Chargers struggled in 2018. But looking at the rest of these power rankings, a lot of disrespect to the other half of the AFC West. You have the Broncos coming in at number 20 in the early power rankings, and then the Raiders and John Gruden coming in at number 31. David, do you think this is pretty much a foregone conclusion that this division is a two-horse race, or do you think one of those two other teams could make a substantial leap next season?
Yeah, no, the Raiders are a mess. I mean, they have a lot of problems that they need to fix. The Broncos probably are not sure who is going to play quarterback for them. They have a new head coach again, so a lot of turnover. I mean, not really much stability there. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that it's going to be a two-horse race, and the Chiefs are going to be good for a long time. I mean, you got to remember, Patrick Mahomes is only going into his third year next season, and, man, that is scary. But, yeah, no, I think it's fairly obvious that the Chargers and Chiefs are going to be battling for the AFC West for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, at least as long as Phillip Rivers is playing at a high level, I think that is true. I think of the two teams, obviously, the Broncos are the one that have at least one side of the ball pretty set on the defensive side. I mean, they have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, which are bookends for the future for that team, unless they get crazy and try to trade Von Miller. But you have a really good defense. So hopefully with a first-year head coach and Vic Fangio, who's a defensive guy and potentially a new quarterback, that takes a couple of years to pan out. And the Raiders have a ton of draft capital coming up in this year's draft, but you still have to turn that into players who can play football. And I have questions that need to be answered as far as if that organization is able to do that, John. But would you agree with it being a two-horse race in the AFC West?
It basically is a two-horse race. The Broncos' defense is basically all they have right now. That offense is just a total mess. It's a complete mess. And unless they get a big piece of free agency to fix it, I don't really see them contending very well to even make a 500 record. And the Raiders, with all those draft picks, are they even going to have chemistry together? Is the locker room going to stay together? Because there was rumors last year that locker room was tearing apart with Gruden being the head coach. There's just so many questions with the Raiders right now. I can't even answer them for you. But the Chiefs are loaded with weapons. Patrick Mahomes is just the beginning of it. They still got Tyreek Hill, who gets to heal up over the offseason. They have room to add another running back to go with what they already have, even because they lost Kareem Hunt. But Damian Lillard and one more guy, and you've got a money offense again. And all they got to do is just build up the defense. Build up that defense, and they have a complete team. And the Chargers, we've seen what the Chargers can do with a complete team. Just imagine if they actually built up their weaknesses and became a stronger team. Those two teams could easily be the AFC Championship.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that happening. And that's the other thing you have to remember is just these other teams are going to have additions too. They're going to have some subtractions as well, but you can't just think, you can't stay put and think the rest of the teams in the AFC West and in the AFC are just going to sit back and wait for you to get better. They're going to address needs as well. So you have to be able to capitalize on this season, on this offseason. It's going to be huge in how the Chargers fare in 2019, because as we saw this year, this team is pretty good, but it's not at championship level yet. So it has a ways to go. But that's going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll be back with you later on in the week. We'll be back with you guys later on this week to talk about some more off-season agenda talk that we need to get into. But that wraps things up for today's show. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers. Also, we want to hear your thoughts on the Super Bowl, on the offseason, everything you have in mind with the Chargers and the Super Bowl by calling the Locked On Chargers voicemail account. The number is 323-524-7924. You leave us your voicemail. We'll play it for you guys on the show. It's one of our favorite things to do, so make sure you interact with us on there, and also subscribe and leave us a 5-star review so that we can keep bringing you guys this show during the off season and ramp things up going into 2019. But we will talk to you guys later. Thanks again for listening. Take it easy and go Bolts.